Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We have a famous Gemara which describes the reaction of the Jewish people at the time of the period of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, Alma avda ha'aretz. The Gemara wants to know, what is the reason why Eretz Yisrael was destroyed? To which the Gemara goes into a whole description as to which violations, which averus they violated. And the Gemara says, Al azvam es taresi. So some of Farshim say, the simple understanding of Alma avda ha'aretz is, why was the land, why was Eretz Yisrael, why was the Beis HaMikdash abandoned? Why were we taken away from that experience of having a Beis HaMikdash in our lives? But some of Farshim explain, perhaps it means something a little bit deeper. Alma avda ha'aretz means, why did the land itself become fallow? Why did the land itself become destroyed? Because when something physical, material, goes through a spiritual upheaval or is devoid of spirituality, the material nature of that element also gets ruined, also gets destroyed. And that's what the Gemara's question was, Alma avda ha'aretz, physically, why is it that Eretz Yisrael was destroyed at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Why did that happen? And that also is what the Medrash says, an interesting story about Paraso Shel Chassid Echad. The Gemara says that there was an animal that belonged to a certain very pious individual, and we're told that La Ratzta Labed B'Shabbos, it didn't want to go ahead and work on Shabbos, even though it was now sold to a non-Jew. The non-Jew was the new owner. There was no problem for the animal to work on Shabbos. But even the animal had a feeling that today is Shabbos and it did not want to work. So there's some sort of atmosphere that's created by a Kedusha, by a spirituality that we infuse into the world. And the Medrash goes so far as to say that the non-Jew who watched this phenomenon, who was so taken aback by it, it was so telling to him that he decided to become a ger as a result. He realized that spirituality is something real. It doesn't only affect a person's being, but it affects their surroundings. It affects all the material value that they have in their lives as well. That's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Shnayim sheyoshim ve'ein ve'neim divrei Torah. Two people who are eating together and they are not speaking words of divrei Torah to one another. So the Mishnah says, Harei zeh moshav leitzim. This is a place of leitzanus. What do you mean it's a place? You should say, Harei heim leitzanim. They are people who are not serious. They are people who don't value Torah. They are something deficient with them. What does it mean, moshav leitzim? This is a place which is now a place of leitzanus. And some of Farshim explain what it means is that not only are these two people considered to be those who don't really value the Torah that they're supposed to be speaking with one another and the Torah that's supposed to be conversing with each other, but also the fact that what they're doing right now has a negative impact on the place where they're sitting. And the next time somebody comes to sit here, that place is now a negative place, not only because they didn't speak Divrei Torah, but now they infused into the place a negative feeling. And because of that, that has implications for later on. You find in the Parshios that we'll read in a few weeks, Rivka goes out to the well and the water comes up to greet her. How can water come up to greet someone? So obviously it's a miracle, but also what it means is that the water feels a certain sense of connection, a certain spirituality of the moment. That's what Rashi tells us by Yaakov Avinu. Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep, he rests his head in a certain place, and all of a sudden the avanim, the stones, are fighting with one another. Allah yaniach tzaddik es rosho. I want that the tzaddik should rest his head on me. How can stones fight? How can stones get into a disagreement? The answer is that the stones understand, even though they are inanimate objects, even though they are material, even though they are physical, there is some kind of impact, there's an impression that is made when they come in contact with something spiritual. And that's something to keep in mind. But based on that assumption, that we assume that every time something spiritual takes place, it not only affects the human beings who can appreciate that spirituality, but also the physical aspects, the elements of the physical world that are there as well, that is the introduction that we have to a very important Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says in Brachos Davav, Amar Rav Chelba, Amar Rav Huna, Kala Koveya Makom Litvilaso. Anyone who is Koveya Makom Litvilaso means they take a particular place and they decide, this is where I'm going to daven every time I'm there. Elokei Avram Be'ezro. Not only do we consider your tefillah to be a very serious tefillah, but Elokei Avram Be'ezro, the God of Avram, which means the God that we all believe in, is Be'ezro, is going to help you out if that's your impression that you have when you daven, if that's the perspective that you have. Ukeshemeis, and when this kind of person who is Koveya Makom Litvilaso, who always makes sure to daven in the same place, when that person passes away, Omrim Lo, they say at this person's Levaya, Hey Chassid, Hey Anav, what a special, what a pious person, what a humble person, Hey Anav, Mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu, you are considered to be from the students, from those who are following in the path of Avram Avinu, just by standing in the same place for the davening. Ask the Gemara, where do we ever find a precedent? Where do we find that Avraham Avinu himself davened in the same place? So that is learned from this week's parsha. Avraham Avinu minayin lanu shekava makam litvilaso. We know that Avraham Avinu is the one who instituted the tefillah shachris. Vayifka b'makam vayalan sham. Rashi tells us he was the one who instituted the davening of shachris. But how do we know that Avraham Avinu davened shachris in the same place every time? So the Gemara says here, k'dechsiv vayashkem Avraham baboker. Avraham Avinu gets up early in the morning, el ha-makom asher amat sham, and he goes to daven in the same place where he davened yesterday, which means there's something special to davening in the same place. You shouldn't just haphazardly go wherever you find the place to daven. You should try and find the kviyas makom, the same place where you davened the day before, the tefillah before, is where you should daven this tefillah as well. And then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Kala koveya makam litfilaso, somebody who is careful to daven in the same spot, in the same place. Oivav noflim tachtav, your enemies, when you have an adversary, God will take care of them, God will push them out of the way. So there's something very unique. And again, I believe on a simple level it has what to do with the fact that if you daven in the same place, that place now becomes a spiritually elevated place. Again, every Beis HaKnesses is a very important place. But the place where you choose to daven and to infuse all of your kavanas, all of your tefillas, all of your heartfelt discussions with the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes a sacred place. It becomes a sacred place. And that place should not be taken lightly. And that's perhaps why the Gemara says, a person who's kaveya makam l'tefillah, so good things will come out of that, because there's a spiritual infusion into the physical element of the place where you happen to choose to daven. Now there's a comment that the Gemara makes here, when the person passes away, and they've been careful throughout their life to do this idea of being koveya makam l'tfilaso, the Gemara says that we say about this person, hey anav, hey chassid, what a humble person, what a modest person, what a pious person. So many mefarshim ask, why do we give such accolades to a person who does a fairly simple act? What's so special about it? So there's a lot to be said, but some say in jest that perhaps the reason why we say you're so humble is because for a person to be davening in a shul 30, 40, 50 years and you keep the same seat and you haven't gotten into a fight with your neighbors, that must be that you're an extremely humble person. Otherwise, how can you keep the same seat? It doesn't make sense. That's not normal for a person to be able to withstand, to withhold the same place in a shul. That's obviously not the real pshat, but again, something to consider that we have this idea of being koveya makam l'tfilaso. There's a very important and fundamental disagreement in the Rishonim as to where exactly the Gemara means you have to be koveya makam l'tfilaso. Rabbeinu Yonah writes there in Maseches Brachos that this cannot be talking about a shul. What do you mean? A whole shul is considered a makam tefillah. So what does it matter if I sit in this corner or in that corner? What does it matter if I sit in this seat or in that seat? Either way, this is a makam kadosh. So what does it matter where I daven in the shul? The whole place is elevated. The whole place is sanctified. So Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that this Gemara is not describing a person who comes to shul, because there's no preference in a shul where you sit. Rabbeinu Yonah says that this Gemara is just referring to a person who, for whatever reason, has to daven at home, cannot come to a shul. So in a situation like that, we say, well, if you're going to daven in your living room because you're sick, because you can't make it to shul, whatever it is, or a woman who davens at home, she should choose the same place in the living room every day. You shouldn't have haphazardly going to different parts of the house. You should daven in the same place every day in your own private home. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah suggests. However, the Rush disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah's understanding, and the Rush there in Maseches Brachos feels that no, when we say that a person has to be koveya makam litvilaso, that a person has to find a set place to daven, that is referring not to a person who's davening at home, but rather to a person who's davening in shul. We should all sit in the same place, we should daven in the same place, we should not be moving around in each tefillah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah quotes this halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that a person should be careful in a shul to choose the same place to daven each and every day, and you shouldn't move around to go to other places in the shul. Now, some achronim point out, based on a passage in the Yerushalmi, that this only applies to the Shemona Esrei. It doesn't apply to the Psukei de Zimra, doesn't apply to the Birchas HaShachar. It only applies to where you choose to daven Shemona Esrei, because that's really where we pour our hearts out, that's where we're supposed to have the real kavana that's necessary during the davening, and that's why during Shemona Esrei we have this very important principle of being koveya makam l'tfilaso. But perhaps for other parts of davening, it's not so important. Now again, that doesn't mean you walk up and down the aisles the rest of davening. It doesn't mean you should be walking in and out of the shul. My father pointed out from Rav Soloveitchik that the Rav said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the Mishnah says there were a bunch of nisim, there were a bunch of miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them was that omdim tzfufim, everybody would stand together so packed into the room, Umishtachavim Revachim, and somehow when it came time to bow down, when they heard the Shem Hashem, there was plenty of room for everyone to bow down. How can that be? How could it be that when we're standing, there's no room to breathe, and all of a sudden, when it comes time to bow down, everybody has a place? How can that be? So Rav Soloveitchik said from his grandfather that perhaps you can wonder. The Mishnah says there were 10 miracles. So the miracle is that there was room to bow down. The miracle is not that we were able to stand still and we had so many people packed into the room. That's not a miracle. That's physical. That makes sense. The miracle is that when you bow down, there's room for you to bow down. So why does the Mishnah include omdim tzvufim, that you stood up and it was so packed into the room that everybody felt like sardines when they were standing in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Soloveitchik said from Rav Chaim, because that's a miracle also. If people could stand straight in one place during davening, that itself is a miracle. Most people are walking up and down the aisles, they're walking in and out of shul. They can't stand in one place the whole davening, so that's a miracle also. Not just that there was room when they bowed down, but there's a miracle also that they stood in one place the entire duration of the davening and weren't meandering around the entire Beis HaMikdash to check out all the different parts of the shul. So that's basically what most mention, that the important aspect here is that you should daven the Shemona Esrei every time in the same place. What is the reason for this halacha? How do we assume that a person has to have an insistence to daven in the same makom that they davened yesterday, that they davened the morning before? Why is that of importance? So the Meiri writes very simply, the reason why is because once you get used to a certain place, you're going to have more kavana. If you're going to choose a new place, you're going to meet new friends, and you're going to start schmoozing with the new guys. The old friends, you don't have so much to talk to them about, and you're already comfortable with your rickety bench, and with your table that's shaking, and with all the air conditioning blowing on you, and the heating is not on, or it is on. Once you're going to start moving places, says the Meiri, you're going to have to acclimate yourself to a new place, and then your mind is going to be other places in the middle of davening instead of being on the tefillah itself. So that's a very technical reason that the Meiri suggests. However, the Shulchan Aruch, when he quotes the halacha, says that he believes the reason why we have this practice is nothing to do with paying attention. We're assuming everybody knows how to pay attention, and nobody's going to be thinking about anything else in the middle of davening. The reason why you have to stand in the same place every time when you daven is simply because our tefillah is like a karban. And the same way in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very organized system, exactly where you're supposed to offer every karban, where you shecht it, where you sprinkle the blood, where you catch the blood. Everything had a very particular place. You didn't just haphazardly choose where you're going to go and how you're going to do it the way you want. No, it's the way it's done. There's a very simple order that has to be kept to. And so too, our tefillah is supposed to be very misudar, very orderly, and you should do it in an orderly fashion, just like the karban in Beis HaMikdash. The Arizal is quoted in the Sefer Otzer HaTfilos. He says the following. He says, you think about a melech, you think about an army that is going to try to infiltrate a city. And it's a big walled city with very thick walls around it, and it's very hard to infiltrate. You can't just break through the walls. So he says, a smart army, a smart general of an army will go ahead and tell the people, shoot a bow and arrow and keep shooting at the same spot. You keep shooting at the same spot, after a certain amount of time, it's going to penetrate, you'll make a hole in the wall. He says, a foolish general will just send his soldiers everywhere, tell them, just shoot arrows wherever you can get. He said, the wall is so thick, you're not going to make it through. You're not going to be able to penetrate. The only way you can really penetrate is if you keep focusing your attention on the same hole, and everybody keeps pushing the same arrow through the same hole. That's when you're going to be successful to be able to penetrate those walls. And so too over here, says the Arizal, when a person davens in the same place from the same spot and offers the same tefillah every single day, that's like standing by that crack in the wall and keep shooting at the wall, keep shooting at the same spot. Hopefully that will penetrate. If you keep going, throwing darts in different places every time, you're not going to be successful in making sure that your tefillah is going to be listened to. As important as this is to try to be koveya makom l'tefillah seinu, that we should find a orderly place to offer our tefillahs, the Magen Avraham points out, one shouldn't get carried away. And that means, number one, says the Magen Avraham, you don't have to stand literally in the same place. It means you have Dalet Amos. So that means the row in front of you, the row behind you, something Dalet Amos, as long as you're within the same vicinity of where you were the tefillah before, that is going to be considered okay. And similarly, the Acharonim write that the only reason you should go away from your general seat that is set aside for you is if you have a Dvar Mitzvah. So for example, let's say the Tzarech Refuah, a person is not well, you shouldn't make yourself crazy to go to shul and stand in the place where you daven if it's not good for your health. And similarly for a Dvar Mitzvah, so Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, let's say there's an Avelis Minyan that needs you to daven with them, and you say, what do you mean? I have my place in shul. I don't want to daven in the house. I don't want to daven there. So again, that's a mitzvah. It's something that's going to give an Ilu Neshama. It's something that's going to help people out. You should go ahead and do it, even though you're giving up on the factor of having this great opportunity of davening in the same spot that you davened the day before. And again, obviously, this goes without saying, you don't throw people out of your seat. I would say that's also a Dvar Mitzvah. If somebody comes in, and they don't know where they are, and they don't know what the right place to sit and what the right place is not to sit, you should be able to give up on your seat in order to have the person feel comfortable in your shul, even though you're not going to be able to fulfill this very important idea of being koveya makom litfila. So either way, it's a very important halacha that comes out of this week's parsha, and it's something that the Achronim say is to be taken with a great measure of seriousness, because, like the Arizal mentions, that's like throwing the dart over and over again, and hopefully after one of those times, the Ribbono Shel Olam will feel our tefillos, will hear our tefillos, and our tefillos will penetrate and make a hole in those mechitzos shel bazel that were put up after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.